You might like to open your Bible, as we open our Sunday school time, to Hebrews and chapter 13. If you and I were living way back, and the world around us would be doing what it's doing, the nations, the idols, the worship, but they'd never be contacting God. And then in the middle of all of that is this little nation of Israel. And Israel is to demonstrate God's wonderful person to the unbelieving world. And in doing so, God is going to provide a Savior. And so Israel is to demonstrate that truth in a most wonderful way. And therefore, they had the altar and the tabernacle, and the priest couldn't go into the tabernacle without the altar, the shedding of blood. So therefore, the priest is going to have to be a savior, and the priest is going to have to go and have a saving solution. That's why they had the sacrifices. Now, and therefore, the priest, having sacrifices and the blood, can go into the sanctuary. And what's he doing in the sanctuary, the priest? He's bringing the people that surround the tabernacle into the tabernacle. He represents them. He represents them before God. What's he doing in the tabernacle? He's coming before God and bringing all the people into God's presence. How? By way of the blood, bringing them into the tabernacle. And the priest also is able to take the wonderful mercy seat and all of the wonderful righteousness that God provides by the ark and bring that to the priest, who can then walk out of the tabernacle and stand in front of all the people, and he brings to them God. The priest brings the people to God. The priest brings God to the people. That's the priest's job in God's saving. So our Lord is the Savior. He's the perfect Savior. And in the perfect, being a perfect Savior, he's the perfect priest. He came and died on the cross for us. And then he turns around and sheds his blood and goes back to God, having shed his blood. Why is he going back to God? He's bringing us to God, the people. And in turn, he then turns and rises again. For what? To bring God to us. He brought us to God. He is risen to bring God to us, to know him. If you got that picture, the book of Hebrews is all about our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning and he has no end. The Aaronic, we did all of this in Hebrews. He's not of the Aaronic priesthood. He's of the Melchizedek, no beginning and no end. He's a priest to bring to us the wonderment of an endless life. That's the book of Hebrews, to bring to us priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, as we've been looking at the last chapter 13, and looking at chapter 13 as we proceeded down the corridor of time here and looking, and God is giving some little thoughts, having such a relationship to God, having such a high priest, such a savior. You need to remember these little things. And just like if you were about to go, illustration top of my head, if you were going to go out in a basketball, football game, and going out, here's the team, I'm the coach, and we prepared studiously to prepare for the game. But as we're going to go out on the field, out in the playing field, as it were, I'm going to quickly remind you of little things. One, two, three. Don't forget these things. Of all the things we did, here's some things don't forget. The same as if I was in the military and we're about to embark straightway to the enemy. We've done everything we can. Now, in the last few moments, let me give to you a review for the men before we leave and land on the beach. Remember these things. Remember these things. Chapter 13. Now, having said that, as we've sought to do that, sliding in chapter 13, and we were in, I'll even read verse 11, 12, just to pick up the thought we just did. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And remember, we shared together in Leviticus chapter 4, Leviticus chapter 16. What do we share? We reminded ourselves that when it comes to sin and the Day of Atonement, once a year, the animals aren't at the altar in the tabernacle. They have to take them outside the city, outside, and there you take care of things. You take burn them up out there, outside the city. You've got to take them outside of the gate. The word gate there is not in verse 13. The word gate is not the door to your house. It's a gate to the city. Cities had gates. They had walls and gates. That's the word. What are we saying? Jesus Christ is bearing the sin of the world as the perfect Savior. Where are we going to go? We're going to go outside the city. They were taught it. They were understood that it had to happen. The city would reject. The city is not interested in receiving Jesus. The city will not. No. He has to go outside the city. He's bearing the sin of the world, the sin of the city. He's bearing it. Outside the city he goes, outside to die on the Calvary's cross. That's why he had to go outside. He's crucified Golgotha, outside the city. That's where he is. That's where you'll find him. The world doesn't want him. The Jews didn't want him. They rejected him outside the city. Crucifixion, a Roman death. You didn't want to corrupt and pollute the city having a crucifixion in the city. You didn't want to louse up a nice place. You go do that outside. That's what they did. He's rejected, totally rejected. And remember, we did all this. Keep that in mind if you can. So, and therefore, the result, if you understand that, if you make believe we're a Jew back then, and here's Judaism. Here we are, Judaism. Wow. We had it hundreds, all these years. We do it. Tradition. We do it. And God said, listen, you have to leave and understand that you have to, all that your tradition and all your opinions and all your thinking, God is not in line with God's thinking. God had to die for the sin of the world in totality. There's no good thing to be found in the world. There's nothing in the world that will save or make you right. I have to die for the whole ball game. Therefore, you understand, Judaism, tradition, all about ourselves and our lives and all of that has to be put on the cross. Don't be trusting it. Don't be looking to it. You may see it and participate in some form or fashion, but don't count on it. Don't count on anything about humans, about your life, about anything about your life. Christ crucified it and took it to the cross. Where am I going to find this grace? I've got to go outside the city, outside the gate. I won't find it in the system. I have to find it outside. Outside the city, outside the gate. Now, let us therefore, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, without, bearing his reproach. Our Christ is, so Jesus is wonderful, but don't talk about too much. Don't make him too much. Don't make him God. Don't make him a saving God. Don't make him a sacrificing God. Don't make him bearing my totality of my sin. Don't tell me I'm that bad. Don't tell me I'm that wrong. Don't tell me I'm that wrong. I look at the people around me and I find lots of people that are worse than I am. And I'm a good guy. That's how I feel. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. And we do that. So don't tell me I'm 1,000% wrong. There's not one thing in my little brain or head that can come out right. Zero. Don't tell me that. And God says, I do tell you. I crucify you. The only way you can get there. You have to die. The wages of sin is death. You have to die. See? And you could ask yourself, how, apart from our Lord and being saved, apart from that, how eager are you to die? What happens if I had my special something and I said, now you're going to die? How eager are you to die? Apart from Christ, no one wants to die. And people do want to die because they get frustrated and suicide and all those. I understand that. But that's an abandonment of our mind is gone. We're just trying to escape. That's what we're trying to do. Now, having said that a little bit, therefore, the admonition in chapter 13 is to, you have to leave Judaism. You have to leave Protestantism as you know it. Is that all right? You have to leave Catholicism as you know it. You have to leave Islam. You have to leave everything as you know. Whatever the thing you've got in your head, you have to understand God has set you free. All of those things in my little head and your head are not in line with crucifixion and death. They aren't in line with that. No, they aren't. No, death is the end of them. That's right. reckon yourself dead. And you have to do that. To what? Be free. So all of the things that you have to count on for rightness, for social and all of that has to go to the cross. And then on the cross, God gives you light, which we're going to do, in order to be able to live in the world of darkness, going down the pathway, the corridor of time. Now, having said that, bearing his reproach, and it is not popular, biblical Christianity, going to the cross, is not popular by anybody. You name me, it's hard to find a denomination that doesn't say, well, this is very good, but we're Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, doesn't make any difference, but we're this. And the Presbyterians have an advantage over the Baptists. The Baptists have a pressure over the Congregationalists. And we've got all different things. And we've got our little what? We're actually trusting my Presbyterianism. I'm counting on the priest that does what he does. When I did confession, I think I'm all done. I'm saved. I'm all set. Priest said so. You see, it's not true. That's not true, not before God. So that's our world. And we live like this. That's how we get along with each other. That's how the religions are all going to come together, Revelation 17. Therefore, keeping that mind without the camp, as we did, and outside the city, which is where we have no more continuing city, verse 14, but we seek one to come. And remember, a continuing city. All the cities do it easy. Here's Babel, back there after the Genesis flood, Babel. Key city, Genesis 10. And I slide along, and I'm going to see the cities rise and fall. And then I come to the big place where the nations, where Israel is put down to the bottom, the nations are put to the top. What's at the top? Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7. What's at the top of the pile when Daniel is in captivity? The top of the pile is Babylon. Babel, Babylon. What's at the top of the pile? That's at the top of the pile. And when God comes and he returns in judgment at his coming, what's he going to do? What's the main city? Revelation chapter 18, Babylon. Babylon. City. There is no city that can survive against it all. The cities are all come and go. And they will, and here's our city, and in due time, it will be absorbed into other things. If you look at it, go back in history, and look at the number of nations, if you have a little sheet of the nations of the world, right? And here they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, okay. Now, if you take a map of the world, even look at just a little Africa, a big Africa, look at big Africa. Where did all these cities, nations come from? Where do they come from? In Europe, where do they come from? You see, multiplying. Everything that was isn't. It keeps changing, right? Therefore, we have no continuing city, and we did all these things, you know, and we did it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And all those, Israel, they were to always be thinking, go to Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10 and verse 13. And you'll see it. What did they all, down through history, what are they understanding? They all lived in tents, remember? Verse, just so you see it. Look at verse, just so in case you'd lost it. Chapter 10, verse 9. By faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise and is a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, 4. What were they looking for? They were looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, what about them? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed. What did they confess? We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's right, sliding down to verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God also is not ashamed to call them, to be called their God, for he, God, hath prepared for them a city. Revelation 21 and 22. And the city, it continues. It doesn't end. It's the eternal city. Now, back over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, remember, it's all outside the city, and the city is there, and they're looking. They're looking to get leave. So what are we going to do? We're to understand what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. We're to understand what our Lord did. He tells us you have to go outside the city. If you want to enjoy what I've done for you and why I did it, if you want to understand it, you've got to go outside the city. You've got to outside the system, because you keep looking for the system to pieces. Here's the system over here, and here's God's wonderful grace, and you're trying to piece them all the time. They're separate. They don't belong together. And you have to enjoy that. You say, but it's people don't like that. It's a reproach. That's right. You bear what Jesus Christ did. They rejected him. That's what they did. They crucified him. They didn't mind him going to the temple. They didn't mind him saying some things. And they certainly didn't mind the feeding and the healing. But when it came to the crucifixion and that you'll die in your sins, that is unacceptable. And when we come to him as our Savior, if I'm going to bear the cross, if I'm going to understand being saved, I understand the totality of the flesh cannot please God. And therefore, the world is not going to be happy with me. God, thank you for being an awesome Savior. Thank you. And I'm outside. I'm not interested, God, in appeasing or approving or finding anything from people. No, I left that system. I left the need for being honored, recognized, everything for my identity. No, you have saved me, and I bear that in my mind. So I'm free. I'm free from the system, God. I have to understand the system does not approve of what I am, who I am, and what I'm doing. The system rejects it. But I bear that reproach outside the city. Now, so therefore, if I can, picking up, if I may, let verse 10, verse 15. Remember now, we're looking at all of these wonderful things. And in the process, verse 13, 14, 15, we get to move so fast. Keeping in mind, continue the city, seeking one to come. Now, in verse 14, verse 15. Where we're talking about, by him, therefore, Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us do so continually. What is that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, you understand, I'm outside. The world, I'm not trusting anything in myself. I'm not to trust anything in the system. I'm outside looking to God. And as I look to God, I'm going to come with thanksgiving. I'm going to come. It's an exciting time. It's a wonderful thing that God has done to save such as little old me, to save us. Wow. Completely. Now, hang on. Having said that, giving that to the praise and the practice of praise. So therefore, the reason, if you picked it up in verse 15, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise. So in the coming, so we're looking to God, and the reason for that is verse 13, because we're bearing his reproach, and here, no continuing city as we shared, but we're contrasting, seeking one to come. So therefore, looking for that city to come in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, verse 15, we have the sacrifice. By him, therefore, by means of the agent, through him, let us be offering, present tense, the sacrifice of praise to God. Let us be doing that. Now, this, picking it up again in verse, that the fruit, that is, so you're saying, getting it, continually praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So God, we're going to come looking to you and with thanksgiving to save us. And that when, if you have a little get saved, and I shared these things many times, but many years ago. In the Methodist Church in El Segundo, California, when I was out there working, in the Methodist Church, because I was go to the Methodist Church, and I did. And I had was a Sunday school teacher even of a little class, little children. And it's a liberal Methodist church. And every week I would seek to pray God that one of them would get saved that I could talk to. And that worked out pretty good. But when we'd kneel down by little chairs, we would get down by the little chairs and pray and receive the Lord as our Savior. That's what we do. And then each time, make sure we always set in. Now, if you receive the Lord as your Savior and God has saved you, should we not thank him for saving us? And then the little kid would say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you. Thank you for doing so. Thank you. What are we going to offer to God? The prayer of thanksgiving. Hang on. Now, in order to see that a little better, go over to Isaiah and 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, picking up, please, in verse 21. Okay, verse 21, chapter 43, in the middle of the context. This people have I formed for reason. For who? For myself. Why? That they shall show forth my praise. The word praise there is what? It combines two things, like the sun shining, the shining of the sun, and sound, shine, sound, shine, sound. So shining light, sound coming forth, the giant, wonderful voice of God echoing. So what are we going to do? We're going to look to God, Isaiah 43 and verse 21. What are we going to do? We're going to thank God that we can understand and see him in the light. We're going to thank God, and I'm going to say it, and you've had places maybe in your journey where you've been in the right kind of canyon, the right kind of setting, and you're there, and all by yourself often sometime out there, and it was just wonderful to say, God, and it would echo right back to you, come back across, to, wow, that's the word. Sound forth to echo. God says, I'm God. God be God. You see, praise. To thank God, light, to see him, sound, to say so. If we confess with our lips the Lord Jesus, John 10, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We say it, do it again, over Psalm 50. Well, yeah, okay. Well, no, you're in Isaiah. So to save you so you don't get confused, Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, if I may, and you'll catch the in God's first coming, second coming, and here's verse 3. 61, 3. What are you going to do, God, for the people that they can have a wonderful earthly experience to enjoy God on earth in the millennium? Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There it is. Thanksgiving, the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God's garden, a saved Israel, my garden, my people, like trees bearing up righteousness. Wow. Now, but Psalm 50. And in Psalm 50, may I pick up the thought, you know it? If I can, in the light of the context, I'll do that little bit because it's helpful. Verse 12, 50, verse 12. If I were hungry, said God, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? No. What am I looking for? I'm not looking for you to help me. I'm not looking for you to play God. Think of, be still and, remember we just did it the other day, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop. Don't play God. Don't help me be God. You don't help God be God. Well, I'm going to help you, God. I got a thought. No, don't help me. That's it. Don't help me. Don't help me. Now, and therefore, offer unto God, what are we going to do, God? Verse 14, since we can't help you, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. The word thanksgiving, to confess, to say thank you, to give thanks. Offer unto God thanksgiving Verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Sliding over, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise, to see the word praise, that's the same word, slide your eye back over to verse 14, the word thanksgiving. And tie thanksgiving, verse 23, praise, same word. Same word, praise, thanksgiving, praise. That's what we have in Hebrews 13, praise, thanksgiving to God. What are we going to do? Say thank you. Did you get, remember the little kids? I said, pray. What are you going to, did you receive them or didn't you? That's something, that's something. If I gave you this tissue and you needed it, I could get you a clean tissue too. And a tissue. And you would say, you might say, especially it was a nice colored tissue, you'd say, thank you, see? What do we say to God? Thank you. What do you say? You didn't get it. You didn't make it. You didn't do anything. All you did is receive it. As many as receive him. To them give you the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. That's all they did. Is receive him. Thank you. Now, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So we're going to have the right kind of relationship in the right kind of way for the right kind of reasons. Over, if I can, chapter Psalm 54. And in Psalm 54, picking up, please, in verse 6. And you'll notice it's 54. And in verse 6, directly in the light of all of that, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. I thank you. I thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. And in the light of that, look, and you remember what we read back over in Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in 13, if I can again, pick up another word. So you see it. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, at which, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we got that little part. We got that. Go on, the most wonderful way, giving thanks to his wonderful, wonderful name, the fruit of our lips. Now, to get that a little better, back over again, keep you awake, Hosea. Hosea, if I can, in chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, picking up if I may, I'll do verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher, Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more. In other words, we're trying to escape or do some fight them, to fight a attack a retreat. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more. To the work of our hands, our comings, our going, our thinking, our feelings. You are our gods. For in thee, the fatherless findeth mercy, God. So what are we going to do? We're going to offer the fruit of our lips, God. That's what we're going to say. What is the fruit of your lips? Thank you. Thank you. That's your lips. Thank you. Thank you. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to Isaiah 57, just to tie it again and lock it in. Isaiah 57, the fruit of our lips, thanksgiving. And you will note Isaiah 57 and in verse 17, if I can. 57 and 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid my face and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Now, having said that, sliding down, verse 18, for I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. God, how can you can save? That's right. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Back up to verse 19. I create the fruit of your lips. I make it so you can use them to say thank you. What can you give to me, said God? Nothing. What are you to give? The sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's what you're going to do. I want you to appreciate what I have done, who I am, what I am doing, what I'm going to do. Thank you, God. Thank you. Now, having said that, back over, if I can, to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, if I can, chapter 13, verse 16. But, remember these are little things that you might have saying to so you'd remember them. But, verse 16, but to do good. That's the little word, do good, is the word well or good, plus the word doing. Doing. You do this, you do that. Do good. Whatever you're doing, do good. Do good. Do it good. Do it well. Do it well. Whatever you do is unto the Lord, do it with thanksgiving. In everything give thanks. Whatever you do, do it in his name. In his name. Whether you eat or drink, whether you come or go, whatever you do, do it, back to Colossians, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it with your whole heart. Doing. Do good. And, verse 16, to communicate. Forget not. Don't forget to communicate. Now, the word communicate is the word fellowship, to share, to have in common, to participate, a fellowship, a communion. The Lord's communion, the Lord's fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, fellowship. That's what the word is. Fellowship. Don't forget to communion. Communicate, forget not. Don't stop forgetting. Stop forgetting fellowship. And that's what you need to have. Now that tells you about sharing with others. But what do we know from 1 John? You can't enjoy fellowship with it. You can have all kinds of people in all kinds of ways, but you can't enjoy fellowship, which has to include God. That's the only way you get it. God brings you into the fellowship so that the believers can now come into the same fellowship, enjoy that fellowship in a most wonderful way. So I've got to have God. If I'm going to talk about biblical fellowship, I got to have God. God has to be in it, the whole package. Now, having said that, and so therefore fellowship, participation, remember what in Acts, you have to turn there, Acts chapter 2 and that. What was the end when you read the end of Peter's sermon? And have fellowship. Make sure you don't lose the fellowship. Don't lose it. Fellowship. Therefore, communion, fellowship, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship that God gives to have. And the Spirit of God makes for that fellowship. He makes that fellowship work. The future, but good and communicate not. Now, God, I need to have the fellowship in order to have the relationship. I can't have the relationship without the fellowship. I can't enjoy the body of Christ without Christ. How are you going to do that? You can't have, you got to have fellowship, same God in the body. The trouble with the church and all of these things, as you know, history, plain old history, it's groups. That's why you've got a couple of thousand, all kinds of varieties of churches and religions, and add religions and you really, that's a whole lot. So we can pick and choose and do what we want, and we join it, whatever. And then within the joining of it, we have all the people that are there. But they are not all. The only time you'd see that is when they have, as we'll pick it up, a herd psychology, that when they're all, here's the Muslims looking at that massive number in Medina or Mecca or wherever. And when they're there, and all you do is just see this big, distant people all bowed down. That's impressive. That is impressive. I think if they have to go to the bathroom, what do they do? Did you ever think of that? I mean, what would you do? You can't even get out of that. Wow. Now, they do that. We just follow, and we group off. We get cliques and groups, and that's very hard. To have fellowship in the church is unity. You're going to have it. You can't have this side doesn't like this side or this side or that. I speak to this side, but don't speak to that side. You can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. Anyway, I got to quit. I think I got to quit. No, I got a couple of minutes. All right. All right. I sidetracked, but that's what happens. We lose. We go, God, we got to get fellowship. Fellowship. And then we have unity. That's what we have, a wonderful unity together. And it isn't because of anybody or anything about any of us, because we already talked about that to remind you what? It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about what God has done to change you to be like him. And that's what it's about.